Well, a few weeks ago, we kicked off a series centered around the early church. It was about 3 weeks ago. We've had a couple of weeks of some different things happening here in the life of the church. But I want to come back to this for the next couple of weeks and look at a couple of lessons from the early church, right? So the early church began after Jesus's time on earth, right? You know, so like post crucifixion, post-resurrection, post-ascension into heaven, and then we kind of just stop, but I want to continue to talk about that because that's really where, at that point in history, that the church was born, right? That's when people first started to gather together and to worship God and to reflect on Jesus' life and his miracles and his teachings. And so I want to spend some time over the next couple of weeks looking at that and really bouncing around. This is kind of a weird statement, but I want to bounce around in the early church, and I want to look at, here's what I want to look at. I want to look at some things that they dealt with that I think chances are you and I deal with as well. And that's why I think there are some good lessons there, things that they dealt with in the early church that we also deal with in our lives. How many of you, just by raise of hands, just think about this. How many of you consider yourselves really, really motivated? Now listen, really motivated, and you always give 100% to all that you do. Okay, raise your hand if that describes you. You're really a motivated person. That's cool if you are. I'm not suggesting that no one is. Well, no one raised their hand. Okay, we got some work to do. No one considers themselves really motivated. Okay, I have failed you. Your parents have failed you. Lots of people have failed you. You know, we're not always 100%, right? We're not always 100% in homework or in sports or in our chores or even our jobs. For those adults here, students that have part-time jobs, there are times in life when you're at work where you feel like you don't give 100% to what you're doing. And sometimes we make excuses for why we're not giving 100%. Sometimes we come up with these excuses that are really kind of lame excuses if you think about it. I found this today, a couple of excuses from parents about why their kids miss school, okay? If you're a teacher, you'll appreciate this. If you're a student, maybe you want to jot some of these down and use them at some point in the future. My son is under a doctor's care and should not take PE today. Please execute him. That's what they wrote. Please execute him. Please excuse Lisa for being absent. She was sick and I had her shot. Dear school, please excuse John for being absent on January 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd, and also the 33rd. Please excuse Roland from PE for a few days. Yesterday he fell out of a tree and misplaced his hip. John has been absent because he had two teeth taken out of his face. Carlos was absent yesterday because he was playing football. He was hurt in the growing part. We're just going to move on. Chris will not be in school because he had an acre in his side. I think she meant ache. Please excuse Ray Friday from school. He has very loose vowels. Oh, this is a good one. Please excuse Tommy from being absent yesterday. He had diarrhea and his boots leak. Not sure how those are tied together. Well, I can kind of put two and two together and figure it out, but that's gross. Please excuse Jimmy for being, it's his father's fault. What? That's an indictment on that poor child's very existence. I'm sorry he's here. I kept Billy home because she had to go Christmas shopping because I don't know what size she wears. Please excuse Jennifer for missing school yesterday. We forgot the Sunday paper off of the porch, and when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday. Sally won't be in school a week from Friday. We have to attend her funeral. It's like prophecy. So look, the reality is this. The reality is that sometimes in our lives, we don't give our best, right? We don't give 100% to what it is that we're doing. Sometimes we don't make a strong effort to bring our A game to a situation. We kind of step back and we evaluate the situation. We think, well, you know, 80% will do here, or 90% will do here, or 70%, or even half effort, or whatever the case is. Now listen, there's a great passage in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. In the book of Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 all the way to verse 10, that really highlights some people. In Acts chapter 5, just so we're all understanding the context of this time, this is the early church. Right? This is when the disciples were coming together and providing leadership for the believers that were gathering there in Jerusalem and around that part of the region. People were sharing together all of their things, right? You've heard that before. They shared everything they had. They sold everything they had and they brought it to the disciples. And then they helped those who were in need. They were gathering together for prayer, for singing of hymns and spiritual songs and psalms. They were gathering together to do this. They were creating, really, the beginning of the church at this time in history. And there's an example in Acts chapter 5, right in the heart of this, you guys, of a couple, a man and a woman, who chose not to bring their best gift to God. And so let me just read this. I'm going to read the first six verses to you of Acts chapter 5. And it says this in Acts chapter 5 in New International Version. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property, right? So they're saying also because everybody was doing it, right? Like everybody's selling their stuff and bringing it to the disciples and sharing all the money together and the food. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now hold there for a second, because from the outside looking in, you're going, oh, okay, well, I don't see the big deal. Here's the problem. He and his wife were presenting that they were bringing everything to the feet of the disciples. They were presenting, they were allowing the disciples, they were being deceptive, they were allowing the disciples to think, hey, I'm bringing everything to you. But what the scripture tells us, you know, as the reader, we get this larger view, we realize that they kept back some of it for themselves. And then it goes on, so they bring it to the disciples' feet, and then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? So this is obviously like a supernatural thing happening here, right? Like Peter wasn't watching Ananias and Sapphira hatch this plan, but the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way revealed to Peter, hey, this guy that's bringing this all of this money to you isn't giving you all of the money. He's not bringing it all to you. He's bringing you a half effort. He's not bringing his best. His best would be all. Listen, our best would be everything. Our best would be all that we can offer God. And so that's why this is a powerful example. So the Holy Spirit reveals to Peter, hey, Peter, this guy's not bringing everything. And then it goes on and it says this. So Peter just asked this question. I love this. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? I mean, this was your land. This was your property. And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? They could have said, hey, we want to decide to give just this much. They could have come to the disciples and said, hey, here's the money from the sale of our land, but this is half the money. We're going to hold on to the rest and go do this over here with that money. They could have done that. That was totally their discretion, right? It was totally their choice. Nobody was forcing them to give all the money, but yet they chose to pretend that it was all the money. What made you think of doing such a thing, Peter says. You have not lied just to humans, but to God. And this is where it gets awesome in Scripture. It goes on, verse 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And then in verse 6 it says, then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. And this is a very interesting passage to me because they bring the money, pretending it's the whole deal. They're clearly not bringing their best to God. They're lying. They're saying, hey, this is our best, but we're going to hold back some and we're not going to give really what's our best. I mean, what was their motivation? Think about their motivation for a second. Was their motivation notoriety? Hey, everybody else is bringing money to the disciples and getting into the action here. So I feel like if we're going to be somebody in Jerusalem, like we probably ought to bring some money to them. You know, what was their motivation? Was it notoriety? Was it greed? Were they greedy people? You know, hey, I'm going to give this money, but I'm going to hold this back for me. What was their motivation for doing this? Because again, they didn't have to lie about it, but they did. What was their motivation? What about this? What if it was a lack of trust? What if it was a lack of trust? What if they really, truly didn't believe, you guys, that if they brought all of the money, if they brought everything to God, they didn't believe that God was going to take care of them. So in the back of their minds, they're thinking, I'm going to give some of the money. I'm not going to give all of the money because I need to hold on to some of it to make sure that I'm okay because I don't know if God will provide for me. About a year and a half ago, myself and several of our high school students recorded some testimony videos. It's a part of our high school Bible study that we were doing at the time. And I have a couple of those clips that I've put together, and you're going to see a couple tonight, and you're going to see a couple more in a couple of weeks. But I want you to watch this because I think that Taylor's testimony really, really talks about what we're talking about here. It's not talking about money, but it's talking about trust. So take a minute and check out this video.
So I'm really involved in my church youth group, and one of my favorite things we do is we have a youth choir, and we practice every Sunday night, and we perform some Sundays for the whole church, and a lot of our songs have soloists in them, and they're always just volunteers that want to do them, and I've never volunteered for one just because I've had this mindset that I wasn't good enough and that there was a better singer, somebody that would just really knock it out of the park, and that I just wasn't good enough for it. But one Sunday night when we were practicing, our choir director asked me if I'd be willing to do a solo on a song we were working on. And I was really hesitant right out of the bat. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if I should do it or not. And so I told her I'd think about it. And so that week I brought it home and I talked to my parents about it. And my parents are very supportive of everything I do. So they said that I should go for it and that I should do it. But I still just didn't feel right about it. And so I brought it to the Lord. God told me that he wasn't looking for the best voice in the world. He didn't need, you know, some pop star to sing for him. He just wanted a pure heart who wanted to worship him. And so I told our director that I would do it, and we worked on it, and I performed it, and I was still nervous up until the moment we started singing, but I knew that it's what God wanted me to do, and I knew that he was satisfied with what he saw because I was truly worshiping him.
So here's what I want us to understand about this idea. I want us to understand that sometimes we hold back from giving our very best to God because we're fearful. We're fearful that we're going to be alone. God, if I really stick myself out there, kind of what Taylor was talking about, if I really stick myself out there and I really try to use these gifts and exercise these gifts that I know God has given me, what if you're not with me, God? What if I'm overstepping my bounds? What if I get out there and make a fool of myself? And we get really fearful that God's not going to be with us. I mean, it's the same concept. I mean, just put yourself in this situation. We're really fearful sometimes that if we give everything to our witness for Christ, if we really start telling those around us about our relationship with Christ, we're afraid that we're not going to have any friends. And so we hold back. We don't give our very best to God because we want to make sure that we're okay. We want to make sure that we still have friends. And so we hold back and don't give our very best. We fear that if we give the time that we know God is calling us to be in his word. If I really give my all to God and I'm really in his word, like I know that he's calling me to, then I'm fearful that I'm not going to have the free time that I want to have. I'm fearful that I'm not going to be able to watch my show. I'm not going to be able to Netflix. I'm not going to be able to do whatever, play video games or whatever it is that we're doing. You know, so we become fearful. So we hold back what we know God is calling us to give, which is everything. And we know he's calling us to give our very best. Sometimes we hold back in prayer. We don't give our very best in prayer because here's our fear. We think, hey, if I really give my all to prayer, if I really get into prayer and I really start talking to God, I'm afraid that I'm going to get an answer that I don't like. And so we keep our prayers real surfacey, right? We keep them real short and we keep them real brief and we don't really get into prayer with God because we're really afraid of what he's going to say. We don't bring our best. We don't bring our all as God has called us to. So we hold back. And I think sometimes we convince ourselves that we're giving 100%, but if we slow down, let me just encourage you to just slow down for a second. If you slow down and you really, really think about what you're giving, not financially, not time, not but all of that kind of combined. Whatever it is you feel like God is calling you to give, if you were to really slow down, here's what I want you to do. I want you to really slow down, and I want you to really think about it. I think a lot of us would realize that we're really not giving our all. Take a look at this video.
I've been swimming for 5 years. Especially after I got better at it, I began to enjoy the sport more and get into it a little bit. There became a point where I got to a new level of swimming, and church kind of took a backseat a little bit so that I could really put my effort into this swimming, and so that I could really put a lot of time into it. So I would go to the meets, and I would do it instead of church, not because it's bad to do that, but because it was like, it was bad because I put swimming above God at that point, and I heard my name on the intercom when they would announce it, and I would get this rush and this inspiration and this like adrenaline, and it would get me ready to keep going, and it would give me drive that I just didn't get in church, because you don't get praised for being a good Christian or being a good, role model to people usually. I mean, so you're not going to get your name called over the intercom at church saying, "Elijah O'Connor, good job reading your Bible today," you know? So, I got to a point where I was putting a lot of time into it, and I continued to attend Bible studies and stuff. So, one day at Bible study, we were talking about giving God everything, making sure you give Him everything in your life. And I remember thinking about, we were talking about Malachi 1:8, and it was talking about giving God the same offering you would give your governor, and how your governor would not accept that. And then I thought, well, I don't have a governor, but I have a swim coach, And my swim coach would not accept the half effort I was sort of putting into my faith. He wouldn't accept that. And it reminded me of an instance where we have a practice requirement, and I decided to skip the practice requirement to hang out at my friend's house. And then the next week, my coaches asked why I didn't make the practice requirement, and I told them why I was at my friend's house and I was having fun and stuff, and they told me that it wasn't good enough just to give my half commitment and just to give half of my effort to them and to give up on my commitment and put it aside to do something for myself. And I realized after that I was kind of doing that in my relationship with Christ. I was giving my commitment to Christ and putting it on the side so that I could focus on my other commitment. And I realized that the most important commitment, the commitment to Christ, is really what you need to do. And so I realized I wasn't giving God my best, and I wasn't giving God everything, and I needed to. And so after that, I just started to work on that, and I started to get a little bit better, but I still struggle with that sometimes, trying to put God in front of everything and just to give God everything.
Here's what I want you to understand. Elijah had this moment in his life, this moment of critical thinking, this moment where he slowed down long enough to really evaluate who he was, what he was putting 100% effort into, and what he wasn't putting 100% effort into. And that's the same encouragement that I give you tonight, to slow down and to look at your spiritual development, to look at your relationship with God, to look at the intimacy level that you have with your Heavenly Father, the God who created you, and ask yourself the question, am I giving 100%? Sometimes we put 100% into our streaks, but not in our relationship with God. Let's be honest about it. I know some of you, when you go on vacation with your family or you go to the mountains or whatever, you are like freaking out because you don't have cell service. And what are you thinking about? You're thinking about a streak. But think about, do we put that same level of energy, that same level of commitment into our relationship with Christ? This passage in Acts goes on. Let me land the plane for you. It says this beginning in verse 7. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing. Sapphira comes in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land?" Of course, Peter already aware of the answer. Yes, she said, that is the price, right? She jumps in with her husband. She buys into the lie. She agrees with her husband that, hey, we're not going to give 100%. We're not going to give our all. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, this is a powerful verse, man. I mean, this is like Peter dropping the mic on Ananias and Sapphira. He says, listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Seems like a pretty morbid example, right? I mean, people just drop dead because they're lying. But let's think about this just for a minute. I mean, this is a powerful example, you guys. And here's what I don't want you to miss as we wrap this up. I don't want you to miss the reminder, listen to this, that there is coming a day of reckoning. That day that Ananias and Sapphira experienced all of those years ago in the church, in the early church, having a face-to-face conversation with Peter, that was their day of reckoning. And I don't want you to miss this. There is coming a day of reckoning for you and I as well. There is coming a day of reckoning despite your words, despite your best justification and your best excuses of why you can't give 100% to God in time in the Word. You can't give 100% to God in prayer. You can't give 100% to God in how you reach out and witness to your friends. You can't give 100% to God in the purity and the holiness that God is calling you to think about, the things He's calling you to look at on the internet, the music He's calling you to listen to, the shows He's calling you to watch. Despite your best words, despite your best justification and your most elaborate excuses, there is coming a day of reckoning where God will reveal the truth about your life. And you and I will be called to account. Father God, I give you thanks for this night. And God, I give you thanks for this opportunity for us to be reminded that you are calling us to bring our best to you. God, I pray for boldness. God, I pray for courage for the folks that are here tonight. God, that as we kind of disperse into our groups, God, that we would be challenged, God, that we would be honest, God, that there would be a spirit of transparency about areas of our spiritual development where we are not giving 100%. Lord, I pray that we would each come to that realization before the day of reckoning, when we're face to face with you. And God, you already know the truth. And God, our words will not sugarcoat it. Our lame excuses will not hide it. The truth will come to light in that moment. So God, I pray that before that moment, each of us would write our lives to your holiness and to the calling of 100% that you have given each one of us. God, I love you, and God, I praise you. Amen.